chapter 11. Now, before we start reading scripture tonight, this might be a good time for me to say this. We've had a lot of kids running in and out during the service, and we want that stopped, okay? We've had them running back and forth across the balcony, up there, and in down the aisles. And whoever brings them is responsible for them. So we want you to keep them still and quiet, and they must sit down during the service. And a lot of times, I really get on the kids for running in and out too, but we also have some adults. Some of you adults have been just getting up, walking out during the service, and we'd like for you not to do that too. Everybody listen to me? I'm talking to you. Every adult in here, we don't want you to wait till I get started 5 minutes and then get up and walk out that door or this door, all of that. Just a habit. That's a bad habit. I know the same ones do it every service and want that stopped, okay? Because what that is, that's the devil cheating you. He makes you think you need to go out. And that's the devil cheating you out of what God wants you to have. And also, it's cheating other people too because it's distracting to them. So, if you think demons can't just work on kids, you've got another thought coming. So let's work on that if you don't mind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll look at some scripture here this evening. The purpose of what we're going to do tonight, if you're visiting tonight, you just happen to pick this night, one out of 52 Sunday nights, and you came tonight, this is good for you. You need to get this. And I'm not going to preach like I usually do. I'm just going to go over this scripture with you, and we're going to show you what the Lord's Supper represents. In the Bible, and for a New Testament Christian, there are two ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. A lot of churches try to count more than that, but as far as we're concerned, the Bible teaches two ordinances. That's things that we do. Take part in. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. We choose to call it that because that's more of a scriptural name for it than communion. And for heaven's sake, don't ever call it a mass. Because that's not what this is at all. The mass is a mess that some idiot started who didn't understand the Bible. The three views of this are, the reason I said that is because in the Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of transubstantiation. And the doctrine of transubstantiation means, literally, that once that priest puts his blessings on that bread and that wine, in their case, we don't have wine, we have grape juice. And when the priest puts his blessings on it, that actually turns into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, literally. And you're literally receiving Christ as your Savior when you eat it. Now, we believe the Bible teaches you don't receive the Lord through your mouth. You receive the Lord in your heart. Through faith. There's all kinds of stories. If you've never read that story of Father Chinicki, 50 years for Church of Rome, you ought to read it. And see, they believe that wafer, as they call it, is sacred. That's the body of Jesus Christ. Because he said, this is my body, which is broken for you, and handed to the disciples. But it's not. It's a symbol of his body being broken. One time there's places where they've dropped it and a rat come out from under the altar and eat the body of Jesus and everything. It just turns into all kinds of blasphemous nonsense in a church like that. Then there's the Lutheran view of the Lord's Supper, and they teach a doctrine called consubstantiation. Now, consubstantiation is kind of like a backslid Catholic, somewhere in between what we believe, who don't have enough really nerve to believe it actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. But there's a mystical transformation and the body and blood of Christ are present in the room as you partake of it. And of course, that's not right either. The Lord's here. He's here whether you do this or not. And the Christian view is we are showing the Lord's death till He come. That's the Christian view. Let's read it here in the Bible. That's all it is. Verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. When you come together therefore unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And what that's saying is, this is not to eat because you're hungry. That's not why we're eating this tonight, because we're hungry. For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now that verse right there says this. It says, if you're going to eat your own supper, you're supposed to do that at home. You're not supposed to do this right here because you're hungry. All we're doing is showing the Lord's death till He comes. Let's not say, oh, more, give me another piece of that. You'd have to eat a whole lot of this stuff if you was really hungry. Or that unleavened bread. And that's what made a lot of the old-time churches not believe in having a fellowship hall or ever eating on the church premises, because here the Bible says, what have you not houses to eat and to drink in? And that's true. When it comes to your own supper, He said you've got houses to do that in. He didn't say it was wrong to eat in the church parking lot. What He said was, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, this is not just for your own pleasure and benefit. Understand? Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. It's very important you get the last part of that verse. This do in remembrance of Me. The entire purpose of this service here tonight is in remembrance that Jesus Christ's body was broken for our sins on the cross. That's the whole purpose of it. Nothing mystical, nothing magical. This stuff here is not going to make your sins go away or nothing like that. It's not going to make you holy. That's the purpose of it. Verse 25. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, watch it now, ye do show the Lord's death, how long? Till He come. This is something that was instituted by Him to be done till He comes back. That's why we're doing this here tonight. This is to be done till He come. Now, here's why you got to watch it, teenagers. Here's why you got to watch it, mamas and daddies, everybody. Watch this, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, watch it, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Stop right there just a second. You say, Brother Danny, what does that mean? It means this. It means if you was out there living dirty yesterday and you're planning on living dirty tomorrow and you got sin in your heart, you are not supposed to partake of this. That's what that means. Because if you do, you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord and you could die. You could die. So I tell you what, if I was you sitting here tonight, if I was sitting here tonight and I said, and I'm just sitting here and I'm saying, well, I'm backslid, and I ain't about to get right, and I ain't even trying to get right, you know what I'd do? I'd just bow my head, or I'd just let that thing pass right on by me, because you can be eating and drinking damnation to yourself. And that's why a service like this is good, because it helps us as a church to get the sin out of our hearts. And by the way, there's more sin than just getting drunk and committing adultery and robbing a bank. And I'm going to read you off some of them here in a minute. If you just hate somebody in here, or out of here, and you refuse to get it right. Now, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with sin, and you were in the altar this morning, you prayed last night and all day, oh God, forgive me, oh God, help me, oh God, please help me, oh God, then you're fine, you're all right. You should partake of it. But if you are deliberately letting sin stay in your heart, and you ain't even willing to try to get it right, then you have no business partaking of this supper tonight. Did everybody hear me? Everybody hear me plain? I want you to hear me plain. I'm talking to you that was out partying last night. You have no business touching this. It could kill you. You could die. I'll show you that in the scripture here in a minute. You ought to have enough respect to God not to put His body or symbol of His body in your mouth and be partakers of it and then go out to the bar and drink liquor. Amen? Now, I know we're all sinners and we're all struggling with the sin and temptation of this world, but you know good and well what I'm saying. You know if you're trying to be right with God or you're just deliberately living like a devil, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. I've been trying to be right with God for 20-something years, and I struggle all the time. I struggle. The devil hits me with sin all the time. But I want to tell you something. I never went to bed. I never stepped in the pulpit with deliberate harboring sin in my heart. Never, one time. Buddy, you'll find me somewhere saying, God, cleanse me. God, get this sin out of me. God, get it out of me. I mean, sin may have a hold on me, but I've never stepped in the pulpit trying to do something for God, deliberately keeping sin in my heart. You say, I don't believe it. Well, you're wrong is what you are. You're just wrong as you can be. And you're a fool if you do. I fear God too much to deliberately have sin in my heart and then try to do something for God. I ain't much, but bless your heart, I try to get my heart right with God every day of my life. And I have since I've been saved. Amen? He said this, verse 28, and here's what we're going to do right now. But let a man examine himself. I want you to examine yourself tonight. It don't say examine your neighbor. It don't say look across the aisle and see if she's going to do it. It don't say look over there and say, I wonder if they're going to. It says for you to examine yourself. I've always preached this. You got a 24-hour day job keeping yourself straightened out without worrying about everybody else in the church. Some of you women got a nose reach from here to that back wall back there. And you think it's your job. You think God called you to make sure nobody gets away with nothing, don't you? And you gossip about everybody in the church. Do you know what she did? Do you know what he said? Do you know what she said? I heard it. She didn't. I heard it. She did that. I'll tell you something about you, sis. You got a 24-hour day job keeping yourselves right. Let me tell you something about you men. You men think it's your job from God to straighten everybody out. You got a 24-hour day job keeping yourself straight. And so do I. Bible said, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, here it goes, you're deliberately living in sin, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are sick, weak, and sickly among you, and many sleep. Help me with these babies now. I mean this. Listen to me. He said a lot of people died because they partook of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now, you know how to keep the judgment of God off of your life? You say, well, Brother Danny, I've just been struggling with sin for so many years. And Brother Danny, this is just sin, just trying to come in my heart and get in my life. And Brother Danny, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what to do. Here's what I do. Listen, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you judge yourself, if you'll set yourself down and say, all right, listen, you sorry dog, this ain't right. What you're doing ain't right. You hear me, Danny? You're a sorry, good-for-nothing, low-down scum. You ought to be shot. And God, help me. God, help me. God, please. That's the way you escape the judgment of God. Judge yourself. If you refuse to judge your own sins, then God has to step in there and judge you. Ain't that right? You ever talk to anybody and they say, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what my mom says. I'm going to do it anyway. That's what you kids right here better watch out for. You better watch out for that smart mouth attitude of yours. Because God's going to slap your head off one of these days. He'll do it. You know what? I've seen some of these young people, they mess up, but they keep coming to the altar. They keep coming to the altar, and that's keeping the judgment of God off on them. You know who's going to get judged by God? Them just say, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. I wouldn't be in your shoes for $1 million. You flirting with a tombstone, kid. You know why? Because you've got light. You know the truth. And turn your back on the Son of God that bled and died for your sins. You listen to me? It's a dangerous thing to spit in the face of Jesus Christ and say, He died for me, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. That's a dangerous thing. I'm telling you, flirting with a tombstone, kid. You're flirting with a broken back or a broken neck, and God's knocked some of you around already, and you still won't listen. Bible said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That's God dealing with you. That's God dealing with you. Listen, if you can go out and do wrong and sin, and God not deal with you, you're not saved. You listen? I said, if you can go out and sin and live any old way you want to and God don't even deal with you and it don't bother you, you're not saved. Bible said He chastens every son whom He receiveth. Buddy, I know. I get it, man. I get it. Y'all don't have to worry about me getting away with nothing, buddy. The Lord zaps me every time I do wrong in ways that I can't even tell you. He'll get you. He'll get you. If you're really saved, He'll get you. And you know it's Him doing it when He does it. Nobody don't have to tell you what's happening. You know good and well, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. This is the Lord getting me. This is the Lord getting me. He said this, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, I've preached on this before, but tonight I just want to read you a list of sins. This is beside all the normal sins, like pride, gossip, jealousy, not tithing, not witnessing, not backing up a church, not, you know, just being lazy, not dressing right, not acting right, not talking right, being disrespectful, listening to rock music, all that. There's just regular sins that anybody with any brains at all knows is a sin. Regular sins. These are other ones that a lot of people don't realize. You listen? Here we go. What is sin? If you got any of this in your heart, we're going to give you a chance to get it out now. Here's 36 sins. Surely one of them is going to hit you. Number one, a secret pride in being successful. Number two, a secret pride in your training, your education, or your appearance. Thinking you look hot stuff, you know. Anybody in here feel like that? Nah, they ain't. None of y'all think you look good, are they? Not a one of you girls. Here's why some of you girls come walking in church. You don't think you look good at all, do you? Why, you're just shamefaced with humility. Number three, an important independent spirit. Number four, feeling bitter over what somebody said about you. That means being mad when you find out somebody else said something about you. Number five, being bitter when you hear of somebody else's success. You know, we had a lot of people in our church get new cars lately. A lot. I'm glad a bunch of them got one before I did. I ain't had a new car in many, many, many years since I had that black Honda in 1990. And I thought about my poor old daddy. Daddy lived his whole life and never owned a new vehicle. He never had one under 5 years old, I don't reckon. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, you look at... I've seen some of y'all come in just lately. It seems like everybody's getting cars. And if you're not careful, you'll say, oh, they make me sick. Come in here driving that new car. Well, let me tell you something. If these people here, whoever they are, if they earned it decent and they're honest and they're making a good living for their family and they buy their family a car, it ain't none of mine your business. You ought to be happy for them. Amen? Be happy for them. God might give you one. If you quit being such an old... whatever. All right. Getting bitter when you hear about somebody else's success. I'm just going to read these. I'll preach on all these. Number six, being sarcastic and unyielding. Number seven, having a touchy, sensitive spirit. That means you've got a chip on your shoulders. Nobody can't be mad. You get mad just like that. I can't stand to be around somebody. Least little thing makes them mad. My goodness, people, just lighten up a little bit. Least little thing. Huh? Boy, you don't be around her. You better watch what you say around her, man. She'll bite your head off. Having a touchy, sensitive spirit. Number eight, desiring to attract the attention of the opposite sex. Ain't none of you boys do that, are they? You don't try to like show off in front of girls. A lot more sin in there than drinking liquor, man. Number nine, saying and doing things to attract attention to yourself. Number 10, complaining. Number 11, when you want to quit doing right. Is anybody in here, you just say, I just like to just quit. That's a sin, you know that? Number 12, unnatural or abusive acts to self or others. Unnatural acts. Hear me, kids? Stuff that ain't right, sexually, impurity, is sin. Sin. Pornography, dirty magazines, all that stuff. It's sin. I don't care if everybody in Hollywood does it. Amen? You got dirty books at home? You better burn that trash and put it in trash can right where trash is supposed to be. Number 13, a deceitful spirit that seeks to create false impressions. That just simply means make people think something you ain't. You're something you ain't. Number 14, finding fault when you are unnoticed. Number 15, lustful or wandering eyes. That means if you mean you just lust after every woman that walks by you. Now, you say, well, Brother Danny, I'm having a terrible time with that. What can I do? The only answer is pray, read your Bible, and stay close to God, because your flesh is wicked. Your flesh is wicked. Number 16, shrinking from duty. Like if you're a Sunday school teacher and you don't even go in your class and you lay out half the time and don't clean it up and don't work on your lesson. Shrinking from duty. Number 17, a tendency to retaliate when you get crossed. Number 18, permitting things in your life that you would condemn in others. Whew. Buddy, that gets us, don't it? We're quick to say something about somebody else, and we'll let the same sin go in our. I've done that. Buddy, that's wicked. That's wicked. Amen? I've thought, buddy, I'll be ashamed of myself. And then found myself doing the same thing. That ain't right. Amen? Number 19, being shallow and stingy. Number 20, unclean thoughts. Number 21, being vain or light. Not serious ever in your conversation. Number 22, being a joker or a jester. There's nothing wrong with having fun and laughing, but there's some things you better be serious about. Number 23, unwilling to put out for others unless personal gain or advantage is involved. Number 24, partiality to certain people that you like. See, that's when the woman that is pregnant that you like, you'll say, bless her heart, I just don't see how she stands, you know, just getting around. I feel so sorry for her, and she misses service, it's all right. The one that's pregnant that you don't like misses service, and you say, she's just using that for an excuse. She could be here. You understand what I'm saying? You'll let somebody slide that you like and condemn somebody that you particularly don't care for. Number 24, 25. Always wondering how great you could have been if things hadn't happened the way they did. Number 26, not appreciating what God has done for you. That's a sin. Bible said be thankful. Number 27, being constantly afraid of failure. Number 28, having an unmerciful attitude toward those that fail. You better be forgiven toward somebody that's done wrong. Number 29, having an inferior attitude toward those that are exalted. Number 30, a false or exaggerated humility. That means acting like you're so humble and sweet. I've had people come, oh, Brother Danny, I just want to do what you want me to do. And I say, yeah, right, you know. That's easy to say. That's easy to say. But it don't pan out with most people who say that. All right? Verse 31. Imagining how others are praising you and speaking well of you when you're not around. I bet they're all bragging about me tonight. Yeah. It's a sin for you to think that, and it's crazy if you think that. They're not bragging on you. They're talking about you. Number 32, straining at the truth. If a man proves something from the Bible, you ought to just take it and say, amen, that's God's word. Number 33, showing an I don't care attitude towards being caught in sin. That means when you're caught in sin, your parents get you and say, I don't care. I'll do what I want to do. Boy, you are fixing to get your head knocked in. You better say, Mama, I have sinned. I've done wrong. Number 34, shirking responsibility. Number 35, having a nervous feeling, uneasiness, when you see somebody doing something that you think you could do better. Number 36, being friendly to someone just because you think they might help you. There's your 36 sins to worry about here. All right, I want us to just have a song now, and we're going to just examine ourselves. I want you to bow your head, and while I was reading off that list, everybody in here felt a little prick in your heart going, that's what you need to pray about right there. That's what you need to pray about. If you want to come to the altar, that's fine. If you want to stay there at your seat, that's fine. But this is a serious thing, and we're going to have just a few minutes of prayer here. I advise you to examine yourself. Amen. Amen. Come on. If you don't come to the altar, that's fine. Some of you wives that need to get that rebellion toward your husband out of your heart, that's sin. Some of you husbands, not love your wife, that's sin. Amen. Amen. Some of you women, gossiping, that's sin. Confess it to God right now. You think you're better than other people? That's a sin. Confess it to God right now. You think you're hot stuff? That's a sin. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. We ain't nothing but a blob of sin unless Jesus has helped us. Let's pray for a little bit this evening.
rest, Father. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before You right now, we come before You confessing our sin. Lord, there's so many we can't even name them. Oh, God, as you, as the old preacher said, when I preach, I sin. When I pray, I sin. My very repentance needs to be repented of, and my tears need washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, our flesh is weak. God, our spirit is willing tonight. We want to be in Your will, Lord. We want to. God, we want to do right. Lord, You know my heart. Our Father, I pray that You'll forgive me for not being a better man of God. Cleanse me from any sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse me. Father, I'm glad and thankful this evening for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Oh, God. Lord, that You'd help that one that may be struggling. Lord God, with some sin in their heart. Oh, Lord, may Your will be done in their heart, Lord Jesus. Move upon us, Heavenly Father. Have Thine own way. Do with us and for us what ought to be done. Help us, oh God, we ask. And God, we'll praise You and thank You for it. And God, I pray for that one here this evening who may be struggling. Lord, may this be the hour, this be the time when You touch them and help them realize how serious this is. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our heads are still bowed now. People are still praying. Children are not to be allowed to do this. This is for parents and those that know what it means to be saved. So, brother, you come on and bring your family. And while they're serving us, these folks are going to sing. I want you to think about that last supper that night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed. And have a holy thought. Now, for the children, if you know they've been saved, they're willing to live for the Lord, you allow them to partake of this. If not, you say, well, my little baby wants some and he don't understand. Smack him. Smack him. Well, you need one be smacked. You tell him, say, listen, you're not old enough. When you get old enough, you can do it. Okay? Amen. That's right. All right, you folks, go ahead and sing a little bit for us.
A covenant once was made by two young men one day, and Jonathan loved David as his own. When David became a king, he remembered his friend and sought to bring his crippled son back home. The son was filled with fear as he waited to hear when the verdict of the king would be made known. He showed kindness that day for Jonathan's sake, and the king made him one of his own. Because of the blood covenant, the king showed mercy to me. The blood covenant, it gave me life abundantly. Now I can sit at the table dining with the king, for the blood covenant makes me part of family. In a garden long ago, God made man a living soul and had sweet fellowship with him.
Amen.
Oh, but man had lost it all when he was crippled by the fall, and that's where God's redemption plan began. And on a hill far away, another covenant was made between God the Father and the Son. The sacrifice was made, for the blood had made a way to wash away the sins of everyone. Because of the blood covenant, the king showed mercy to me. The blood covenant, it gave me life abundantly. Now I can sit at the table dining with the king, for the blood covenant makes me part of the family. Part of the family.
Amen. Go ahead, sing another.
There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise. He said the Spirit will descend, and from your inner deep within, there is a fountain that saves the soul from sin.
Won't you
come to this water? There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There came a thirsty woman. She was drawing from a well.
Yes.
Her life was wasted and ruined.
Hallelujah.
Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, and he told of her great sin. He said, if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that saves the soul from sin.
Won't you
come to this water? There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Won't you
come to this water? There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Well, you know what the Bible says here. For the Lord broke His body. We're going to pray and then read this scripture and partake of the bread. For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You let Your body be broken for our sins. Lord, help us not to take that lightly. Help us not to take that for granted. Oh, God, on that holy night, when they beat Your body and the blood run down Your back, we know that's for our wickedness. We praise You and thank You for it. We could never, ever repay You. We know everything in heaven will be perfect. When we get there, the only thing there will be made by man. It'll be those scars in Your hands. And Lord, may we worship You forever and ever and ever. And appreciate what You've done for us. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
One day I went walking down a long, lonely road, and I thought that I had no one who would share my heavy load. Then my mind went soaring back to a place I'd never been, and I realized I was standing at the foot of my King.
Amen.
There were three lonely crosses on the hillside that day. As I looked at my Savior, I cried, Lord, take me away.
Yes, amen.
There was blood flowing down from the thorns on his head. He cried, Father, forgive them. Then my Savior was dead.
Then I stood there in silence, thinking, Lord, how can this be, that your beloved Son gave his life just for me?
Amen.
But then I heard a sweet voice saying, Child,
praise
lift
God.
Up your head, for the one that you see hanging there, well, he is not dead.
He's alive, he's alive. No death could not hold him. He's alive, he's alive. The stone is rolled away. Satan thought he'd won the battle when Jesus died on that tree. Oh, but Jesus came back from the grave and he won the victory. He's alive, he's alive. No death could not hold him. He's alive, he's alive. The stone is rolled away. Satan thought he'd won the battle when Jesus died on that tree. Oh, but Jesus came back from the grave and he won the victory. Yes, Jesus came back from the grave and he won the victory. He won the victory.
Amen. Amen. Sing another.
One day as I was thinking of unseen things above, the Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver, some say give me gold, but I say give me Jesus. He satisfies my soul. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they've turned their backs on me. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. And Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it wherever I go. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul.
Represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not the blood, but it represents His blood that was shed for us. When you put faith in His blood, you receive it over your soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ, once your sins are washed away, God never ever mentions them again. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of this world. When Jesus died to bear our sins. The Bible says here, we're going to read this, then we'll pray. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood for our sins. Lord, you said in the book of Acts it was God's blood. We praise you. It's holy blood, sinless blood, precious blood. As of a lamb without spot, without blemish. We're glad, Lord, that the blood is saving us from the wrath of God that's about to be poured out on this world. We know, God, that your wrath is going to fall on this planet. We know that people are blaspheming you like never, ever before. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, tonight. Give us that we need. Carry on. Lord, I'm glad the blood's never lost its power. I pray you'd keep us in your power this week. Help us as we go our separate ways here in a little bit. Be that you'd have us to be in a world of sin. Thank you for your blood that was shed once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Let's sing a verse of that. Kathy's playing Amazing Grace, real slow, loud, pretty. Get your parts in there. Ready? Amazing grace, sing it, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Good to be saved, isn't it? Just thinking how sweet this service is tonight. Boy, I tell you, last Sunday night, I felt like, you know what I felt like last Sunday night? A ping pong ball. I just got ping, 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 getting knocked all over the place. Or one, I really felt like sometimes the ministry, sometimes I feel like I'm in a pinball machine, a little ball and pinball machine. Bing, 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 like that. I was up here last Sunday night. I was trying to play my guitar because the guitar is going to be on the tape. and lead the choir with my head and tell the musicians what to do with my head like that, and watching the sound like that, and then trying to get in the service too. And now you ought to try that sometime. Right, leading the choir, playing the music, telling them what to do, and trying to mess with these demon-possessed microphones. But I was just thinking as we were singing just how sweet and easy this service is. This is just like last week, I was bing, 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 bing. This week, it's just been a blessing. We've just been kind of just relaxing in the Lord here tonight. Boy, sometimes we come on shouting, tear the walls down. Other times, just sweet like this. And that's what we want to have here at our church, a balanced diet. You don't want the same thing every time you come. Get something good from God. Now, before you go, if you are not on this list, you've got to get on it if you're going. If you are on this list and you're not going, you've got to get off of it. We're going to meet with everybody immediately right here in this section of the choir, everybody, and have a little quick meeting. I need to see Brother Randy. I need to see Benny Stamey before you get gone, just a second. And the rest of you, just hang around and fellowship a few minutes. We're not in no hurry here tonight. It's still early. God bless you. Don't forget to pray for us on the way down to Georgia this week. Everybody that's going on the trip, come on up here right now.